What's missionaries in our culture? It's two. It's always two. There are always two walking around. Well, the mission president, he couldn't leave right off and knew that he had to have somebody in charge, and he chose one guy. He didn't say, okay, you two go and get everybody else. For some reason, he chose one. Well, I love that, because in a movie form where you've got one guy against Nazis and all the things that come with that, that's just so much more hard. So Norm Seybold gets the commission. You go and find these guys. They're stranded. They don't know what's going on, what to do. You've got money. They don't have money to get out. They don't aren't sure where to go, all that stuff. And he goes like a shepherd, and he goes on trains, because that was the way they got out. They didn't have a bunch of freeways and highways and taxi. It was a train country. And so he'd just go from one train station to the next and try to find missionaries that are just sitting there not knowing what to do and not having any money to do it anyway, and getting them and pushing them into the other countries. Jesus land if they live righteously.
It is time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and no stranger, I want to say maybe third or fourth time here in the Cultural Hall in the now 13 years that we have been doing this here show available in podcast form, T.C. Christensen. Now, there are others that have been called the godfather of Mormon cinema. That's not you, of course. What do people call you within the realm of church film?
The big fat bald filmmaker, pretty much. That's it, and it's true.
You know the big fat bald guy. Oh yeah, sure, of course. maybe the most prolific, though. I think, is there anyone that has made more church centric films than you?
I've never counted. I'm not sure, but I'm still out there slugging. I'm not dead yet, Richie. I'm going to make more even.
Well, good, good. We had the opportunity to work together on The Fighting Preacher. You certainly involved with Cokeville Miracle. Do you have a favorite of all the ones that you've done in your time?
Well, you have to say, I just think if you're a filmmaker, I have to say the last one is my favorite.
Because okay.
If I'm going back like 1980, I made a good film. Well, that means your career went, So this Germany film has really been a fantastic story to be involved with. Love it.
The name of the film, Escape from Germany, out in theaters, whether you're hearing this after it has come out or you're hearing it in anticipation of it, April 11th, 2024 is when it's out, available for people to be able to view. I am curious to you or from you to know, with all these different stories, most of these centered in reality, right? It's these are people that actually lived, and you're telling the story. There's some things that I think as people watch the film, they'll go, wait, is that really how it happened? My question is are you just always a listening ear for a story going, ooh, that's going to make a good movie. Let's store that one in the back. Or how do you get these ideas, which subsequently get made into scripts, which subsequently get made into movies?
Well, here's what you got to hear first from me is, I think choosing the project, choosing your story is the most important thing a filmmaker does. You know, how many times you come out of a movie and you go, who thought that was going to be good? There's just nothing there that, you know, gets me or that I care about. So I put a lot of time into choosing, is this going to be something that people will care about? Do I care about it enough to put 2 years into making the picking thing? And yeah, I'm always just listening and trying to see what's out there and find a good story. I think I've never really said, oh, I have to make like church films or they have to be true stories. But the reality is, these are the best stories that I've been able to find. I just think they're solid. This German story is solid. And if I made it up, if I just said, I'm going to set this in right before World War II, it doesn't have the impact that it does with knowing these are real guys and this happened to them.
So, in particular with this story, because I know about a decade and a half ago, this was mentioned in LDS General Conference, the story of the missionaries leaving Germany right before the breaking out of World War II. Is that when you heard about it? Or give me the specific, like, hey, this is where I first heard of it, and then just continue to work on it.
Well, here's my first introduction was we had just done 17 Miracles. So this is like 13 years ago.
Okay.
And I went to a Sons of the Utah Pioneers meeting, and they sat me at a table next to an older fellow and said, here, sit by this guy. And as I talked to him, he told me, he said, I was one of those missionaries that got out of Germany right as the World War was going to start. Mm. And I'm like, really? Never heard of it. Sounds kind of cool. But that's the first time I ever heard the story. And then if it's a good story, it tends to keep coming back. And I have people write me. And Terry Montague wrote a book about it. And somebody sent me the book. And it just keeps, you know, and then you eventually go, okay, I get it. I keep hearing about this. It must have something that people are interested in. Let's take a look at it.
Now, you're a person of faith, a member of the church, and someone who certainly believes in, you know, revelation and inspiration. Do you feel like those things transfer into this work that you do?
I hope so. You know, that's how that works for me. I try to be a good boy and be somebody who maybe I could get some inspiration. But the reality is, it's like most jobs, filmmaking especially, it's like 99% sweat and hard work and trying to think, and is there a better way to tell this and all that. But there are times when I look around and I go, man, I think I just had a miracle. Mm-hmm. I had a few of them on this film.
Well, now you say something like that, and I have to ask, what was one of the miracles that happened as you were filming Escape from Germany?
Oh, I have to actually tell it?
Okay, yeah.
Because I like to. Okay, here was one. We couldn't film the whole film around here. We did film quite a bit, but we don't have.
And when you say around here, you mean in Utah?
Yeah, just where you can drive to.
Okay.
And not put people in hotels and per diem and everything. So we knew we had to go somewhere in Europe, Eastern Europe. And I chose Budapest, Hungary to go to film for several days and make it feel like a 1939 Germany film. Well, we found a production company over there to help us. And one of the things they expect is to be paid.
Sure.
And I expected to be paid. So they told me, here's how you do it. You wire money to us, and it's a significant amount of money. And so we signed a contract, wired the money, got to Budapest. And I said, hey, you got the money? No, we've never gotten it.
What?
Maybe it's coming tomorrow. Yeah, the next day. And we went on and on. And the money just, it wasn't coming. I'm talking to our bank here. They're talking to their bank. Can't figure it out. And at this point, what are we going to do? And finally, the day before we're going to film, they said, if you don't have the money here, we're not supporting you. You're not going to get the trucks open and the crew working and all the equipment. We didn't know what to do. So, like good boys and girls, we had gone to church that Sunday, the one Sunday we were there at Budapest. And we met a guy who was there who had been on a mission there. He didn't live there, but he was back visiting. One Sunday, he was there, and he overheard us talking about the money problem. And he said, you try to get money into Budapest? Yeah, we don't know what. And he said, I can do it like that. I do it all the time. He was a businessman, and he knew how to do it. It took him a couple of hours on his phone, deek, 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 and here to there, I made a call. And all of a sudden, it was cleared, and we were able to, the next day, film where I thought we were maybe going to have to go home with our tail between our legs, that we never really got what we came there to get. But because we were good boys and girls and we went to church, we met that guy. It's the only time we were in the church. It's the only time he was there. Hmm. And we met, and he started talking to us, and it was like a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah, I love hearing stories like that. I wonder if maybe sometime down the road, there's going to be someone that's going to do the T.C. Christensen film, take things from your journals and share all the different miracle moments that happened as you were working on these? Because I know that that's not just a single occasion in all of the films that you've done. It seems like when we've talked before that there you can say that you divinely saw God's hand in what you were doing in order to make something like that happen. It's pretty incredible. I want to move to the subject matter of the film. Obviously, when we're talking about World War II, talking about Germany, something that I think is just a difficult or a sensitive subject just in general about this time period is the power of the Nazi symbol or the swastika, which is in this film just visually. You don't have to say anything about it. You don't have to be like, and clearly here we are in, right? It is a symbol that carries so much weight and meaning and just visceral response without even saying anything. Does something like that intimidate you, scare you? You love the challenge of something like that? Talk to me about that particular use of that within the film.
Well, it was said to me by, I think it was a marketing person had pointed out to me, that ad campaign, they didn't call it that, but that it was an ad campaign that the Nazis did, is the most powerful, successful ad campaign ever done in history. Forget Coca-Cola or anything, Marlboro, they branded themselves and pushed it, and people got on board that maybe would not have. For us now, displaying that, it was a struggle, even though we're making a movie, because we're filming outside and people would drive by and see that we're filming and we've got a swastika up and they'd start yelling. We had a lady get out of the car and come over, and you could tell she was ready to just rip us up. And then she sees the camera and she, are you guys making a movie? Yeah. Oh, okay. But people are very vehement about that. It stirs emotions. And we did several scenes where we would unroll the flag, shoot, and then hurry and roll it back up, just so we don't have to offend people and mess with it.
But it's a pretty, to me, I feel like that would be sort of an intimidating, maybe intimidating is not the right word that I want to use, but like that's a lot of responsibility, because at the end of the day, if you did this in a wrong way, people are looking at TC going, how dare you manipulate my feelings by having this be a part of it, or doing this too much, or shooting this in a way that would, you know, whatever it is, like that all is square on TC Christensen's shoulders.
Yeah, and we try to find a good medium of how much to have and so forth. The reality was, you look at photographs from that era, and man, it was everywhere in big numbers. And we couldn't afford really to do it as big as they actually did it, but we did it enough so that you get the taste. And for us with these missionaries, I felt like it was like the thing that's always looking over their shoulder, trying to get out. And that's a reminder that this is not a free country and they can just get up and go wherever they want. Boy, they better toe the line or they're going to be in trouble.
If people have no idea what Escape from Germany is, obviously they can take from the title that someone is escaping from Germany. And we've talked about how this is in World War II era. How do you say, how do you explain what this film is to folks?
Well, here's my little pitch. I like to say is it's 1939 in Germany. The president of the church is Heber J. Grant. He sends a message over to the mission president and says the war is going to start in 3 days. Get those missionaries out. And that's pretty much the story. You know, there's a lot more to it than that, but that's pretty much it, that they had an advance warning to get them out. And then all of the things that it took, miracles and perseverance and days of riding trains and that's our movie. That's the Escape from Germany.
And so the church mission just functioning as any other sort of mission would be. And they get the call and it's like, hey, yeah, let's go. The main character, Elder Siebold, if I'm recalling and pronouncing that correctly, is the one that we sort of see the story through. That's an actual person who existed. Tell me a little bit about, you know, sort of the the choice with not only the actor, but then to be able to take it that way and move the film narratively that way.
Well, it's one of the things that really attracted to me to do this story is because what's missionaries in our culture? It's two. It's always two. There are always two walking around. Well, the mission president, he couldn't leave right off and knew that he had to have somebody in charge. And he chose one guy. He didn't say, okay, you two go and get everybody else. For some reason, he chose one. Well, I love that because in a movie form, where you've got one guy against Nazis and all the things that come with that, that's just so much more heart. So Norm Seybold gets the commission. You go and find these guys. They're stranded. They don't know what's going on, what to do. You've got money. They don't have money to get out. They aren't sure where to go, all that stuff. And he goes like a shepherd, and he goes on trains. Because that was the way they got out. They didn't have a bunch of freeways and highways and taxi. It was a train country. And so he'd just go from one train station to the next and try to find missionaries that are just sitting there not knowing what to do and not having any money to do it anyway, and getting them and pushing them into the other countries.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. Our lifetime service guarantee has become the most trusted warranty in the industry. You can get a brand new PC Laptops desktop computer and they start at only $29 a month. Check us out at PCLaptops.com.
BestDJInUtah.com is the website. That is where you go if you would like me to come and DJ your event. Now, will I do a family reunion where you all wear the same t-shirts? You bet I will. Will I travel to wherever you're at? Uh-huh. Am I reasonable as far as what I cost? Yes. Yes. Do I bring a good time? Yeah, all the things. Listen, Best DJ in Utah, it's my company. It's a thing I do that allows me to be able to have the time to do the cultural hall. So if someone's getting married, you think, man, they need a great DJ. You're throwing a party, whether it's a 50th or 60th or 40th or 20th or whatever the party is. I've done them all and would love to be able to do that. An anniversary party, certainly done those. I did a baptism in 2023. Yeah, we did a big dance party at a baptism. Spoiler, not a Mormon baptism, but it was fun nonetheless. BestDJInUtah.com is a website. I will get back to you within 24 hours with a quote. Come on now. BestDJInUtah.com.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
There's a theme, and I don't want to give away how this theme sort of comes out throughout the movie, but I love the theme that is doing what is right and letting the consequence follow. And then also the nod to the scripture in 1 Nephi chapter 4:6, which is, and I was led by the Spirit, not knowing beforehand the things that I should do. How do you feel like, because hopefully, and I'm knocking on a piece of wood right now, we won't have Nazis again, and there will not be a world war, though sometimes I read the news and I go, Jesus, is it tomorrow? Is that when this is starting? What do you hope that the people that take away with those themes being in the film, is it just a direct, like, do what is right today? Like, how do you hope that the story from our past can influence those that would watch it now?
There's a lot of lessons, I think, that come through this film, and they're there in the story. It wasn't something like I have to sit around and think, I've got to make sure I teach a good lesson with this film. It's just there by their actions and the way they were treated by those that did not honor freedom or care about freedom. I hope that that people will leave the theater with this film and feel like they have learned something to help them in their lives, which is mainly this whole idea of being able to overcome and do hard things like this missionary did. And the way he did it, you mentioned to him, it has to do with this, or him, do what is right, and also has to do with the perseverance of not just stopping when somebody comes up and tells you no. This guy stood up to policemen with guns. You know, if it was me on my mission and a policeman came and told me to do something, I would do two things. At first, I'd probably cry. And then I'd, through my tears, I would do whatever he said. And Norm, only if it was right. He knew some things were not going to go the right way if he did what the policeman said. And he stood up to him. And we got us a Clint Eastwood in this film. This is the Mormon Clint Eastwood standing up and blazing a trail.
With Norm Seybold obviously being a real person, there is a consideration that is to the family. He has since passed. There is a consideration to the family that the family story or the individual story be told in a way that the family would approve or would like, or that there's able to be research with the family. Is that something that took place in the preparation and in the writing of all this?
Yes, we found relatives and talked to them and had them read the script and so forth. And, you know, the actual truth is there were some things that they said, well, is that really, do you have to have him do that? Because we don't know that he did that. And, yeah, you know, there's a few little items like that, but they have been very supportive and jumped on board. And let me expand this to tell you, all of the, you know, extras, you know, the extras are the people without lines that sure. are sitting on benches and walking past and so forth. We put out a search and 85% of the extras in this film are descendants of those actual missionaries.
Wow.
They came every day. Every day I would introduce them. You know, we want you to meet, this is the Baker family. This is the Earl family. And we introduce them to the rest of the crew and the cast, and every day it'd make me cry because just seeing them, they were just so happy to be there honoring their ancestor and seeing his story, or her, there's some women involved too, story told. And it just touched me every day.
I love that you point out that there are women's stories that are told as well. You know, certainly that is something that I feel like as a population and as growth comes within the church, that we're not just telling the stories of men, but telling the stories of women as well, being able to see their faith and the way that they've been tried and they've been tested and overcome those sort of things. I enjoyed that aspect of the film as well, as we find our way sort of through it. I am curious, as you now sort of complete the project, it comes out, you put your baby out into the world and say, please love my baby and please see it opening weekend so that we can have more theaters the next weekend. And that's very real. The opening weekend for these films is huge. So if you're interested in something like this, you have the time. As we record this and as you're probably first listening to this, it's out this weekend. Go and make the time to be able to do that. But as you sort of look back, are there things that you go, oh, you know what, if I had another day in Budapest, if I could have just, there's this thing that we didn't get that I really wanted to get, anything like that?
Tons of things like that. You know, we have to make films on this teeny budget. And yes, movie making is a whole bunch of compromises. And you're trying to manage the compromises because you're never going to make a film and just go, oh boy, did I nail that one. I did everything I wanted to do. But hopefully we've got enough good that it kind of offsets some of the bad compromises we've had to make.
Now, as films come out for the weekend, and it really is, I can't stress this enough, whether it's this film or other films that are sort of church, either centric or adjacent, or members of the church adjacent or centric, it is important that people go out on those opening weekends. Those are indicators to people to whether or not they should keep the film, whether or not they'll take a chance on a film like this in the future, all of those things. I cannot stress how important that is. For filmmakers and for these types of films to continue to be made, but as this goes out, as it's getting shared, as people are able to consume it, do you just kind of go, all right, and then it's on to the next one, or are you able to enjoy a moment where you're like, yes, here we are, and then you wake up in 2 weeks' time and go, what's the next film the TC is going to do?
Oh, it's kind of a combination for me of all that. I don't think there's ever the like that. It's done because now we want to promote it and market. And I try to get out to theaters and thank people for supporting us and have events that bring people in. So that continues. I'm just always thinking about what to do next. And in fact, we have two other films that are in production. We got backlogged with COVID like everybody else, but now we're busting out and we have this film and then we'll get these other two out and then see what comes after that.
Well, you can't just say something like that and not give me a little bit more information. What are the other two?
Well, actually the first one we shot after COVID it's another true story,
Okay.
surprising. And it is the story of a kid in 1910 in rural Utah who is big, and he goes to school, high school, one day, and there's a new track coach. There's this new sport called track. And the coach says, "Hey, you're big. Why don't you come out for track?" And the guy says, "What's track? They don't even know what it is." He goes out. 2 years later, he wins the gold medal in the Olympics in Stockholm in the high jump.
Wow.
It's really more of a sports film than just a spiritual film that we've done before. Spiritual elements to it, but it's very much a sports film. It's called, I think it's going to be called Alma Richards Raising the Bar.
Okay.
And then we also have with my son, who is been my editor for many years, and now is at a time in his life where he wants to direct. He loves documentaries, and we're doing a feature documentary, a true story about a local Davis County boy named Ben Kerr, who overcame a lot of problems with his a disease early on, and found himself through wrestling. And became an all-American wrestler in college. And it's one of those feel good, this guy just lifted himself up and became something nobody thought he would be able to.
Wow. Wow. So it sounds like we'll be chatting again in the future
I hope so. Well,
and be able to chat with maybe even your son and see what that is like as he sort of lends himself into that and maybe takes the baton from that old fat guy, his dad, and says, "Hey, I'm going to do it." And dad, now you can finally sit and relax and enjoy. And you're like, "Nope, I'm going to keep making films." I have to ask you, TC, is there something you say that these ideas keep kind of ruminating in the mind? Is there something that you're like, "Oh, hey, maybe this will be a next one," a story that has recently caught your mind? Maybe you haven't done a single thing about it, but you're like, "I have always wanted to make a film like blank."
I'm really concentrating on these three films
Yeah.
right now, and I have a file of ideas, and every once in a while I go back and look through it, but I don't know. I've got another year of getting these other two films out. And one thing I really try to do, I've seen other filmmakers fail when it comes to this, which is you get excited about something else and you lose your focus on the
Right.
one you're doing. And I really try to keep pounding on these three. I'm going to keep on, and then maybe a year from now I'll start figuring what's next.
Nice. Name of the film is Escape from Germany. Again, out April 11th, 2024. So whether that's in the past, you can pick it up probably and purchase it if it's in the future that someone's listening to this. Otherwise, go see it at the theater's opening weekend. It does immense amount of good for those filmmakers and those who participate in those films. Escape from Germany. Buy a ticket. You know what? I would even say this. I would go so far, even though I think that you should just go see the film. Even if you can't go see the film, buy a ticket for the film, even if you can't go, but go see the film. Why would you buy a ticket and not go see it? But support the film. Things like this are important, and it's such a great story. Beautiful things. I love knowing that it's being shot locally, that I kind of go, is that, did they do that here? Is that, there's some fun in that, but just a great uplifting story, a story of overcoming adversity and really being able to get absorbed into a time. I thought you did a very responsible job of handling a lot of those themes that I think otherwise people would go, no thanks. I'll let someone else take care of that. I think you did a really great job. So I would ask you the same question that we asked you the last time that you were here. It is how we all end all of our episodes of the Cultural Hall. You may have a different answer. You may have the same answer as before. The question remains, though, what is your favorite part of your faith?
You know, I don't even recall you asking that before, Richie, but this is probably, I don't know, this is my third time, maybe fourth on here. I better start remembering that you ask that every time. They're part of their faith. Okay, this is the first thing that comes to mind is when I see principles of my faith now manifested in my children and now into my grandchildren, and I see them finding happiness because of it and helping us be a stronger family and stronger people and all that kind of thing. It's like, it's working. I love this. I'm going to say that.
Yeah. I love it. Beautifully said. T.C. Christensen, go see, not you. Well, you will go see.
And
people will be able to meet you at some places. Is there a website for like general information that people can go and check out?
Yes. Thanks for bringing that up. It's escapefromgermanyfilm.com. And it has more information and photos and website or Facebook links and all those kind of things.
And I imagine that if you're here locally, that is in Utah, you might be able to meet some of the actors. I'm telling you that the guy who plays Elder Siebold's too good looking. I know Elder Siebold was not that good looking. And well, I don't know Elder Siebold, but that guy, he's almost distractingly too good looking.
Girls like him, Paul. Yeah, he is a great leading man. I'm so glad to have found Paul. And he does a terrific job, too.
Yeah. So go check it out, escapefromgermanyfilm.com. TC, I hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, that if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, Chris at Alpine Lakes Travel, Rick McGee, Debbie Wanless, Chocolate Cake Bites Podcast, and the Tiger with a U will be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat on the back row.